Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and joining me for the Big Three today, I've got Jess Baker and Mark Rader. Welcome, guys, to the Big Three.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, very excited to be here.
It's great to have you. Great to have you. We were just having a conversation about the superpower that we currently all hold now. Against a global pandemic. How did your vaccines go?
Oh, fabulous. I really enjoyed my experience, to be honest.
It was. I don't know if this is sarcasm
no,
or not.
No, it's not. It's legitimate. I went to my hospital, which is a sense of pride at St. George Public Hospital, represent.
A little shout out.
A little shout out. And so efficient. I mean, it takes about a year for us if we need a computer in our office to get a computer. And here was a whole ward with like 15 computers, staff at every computer, like just pumping them out. It was so good. It was good. But I enjoyed the experience. And now I just have this great sense of like, I can handle anything.
I can handle anything.
I can bring it on.
Come at me, COVID.
Fully
I dare you.
Fully ready to go.
Did you get the Pfizer?
I did get the Pfizer, yeah.
She's an essential worker.
I am essential. Oh, yes.
Us plebs over here with the Astra.
All good things. But yeah, it was a good time. I'm ready.
And Matt, you got your first.
I got my first last week.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, my nurse was so incredible and so efficient at jabbing me that I legitimately thought that she hadn't done it I was a part of like a placebo trial. I was like, I don't think she actually did it.
Or they don't actually give you the shot.
They're like, small prick and then actually don't inject me with it.
Now's the time, I think, to experiment with things like that.
No, I just don't think that's, that's where I'm at. But then, it did take me down, the good old Astra. You know, they warn you that you might experience some flu-like symptoms within the first 24 hours. I did experience that. So at that point I was like, it was actually kind of affirming for me. I was like, oh no, she really did give it to me.
That's my favorite. I love that in a vaccine where you don't even know it's happened. You're like, I'm such a big girl. Like, I was so tough.
Where's my lollipop?
So good. But you got to binge watch some movies out of it though.
It's true. I did have the next day off and just Netflixed my way through 24 hours. I did not leave my bed. It was glorious. I don't think I've had a sick day. I think I've been working at the church for 5 years and I think I might have had one other sick day. So, you know.
There you go.
Well earned.
It was time.
Well earned.
Right.
Yeah. And you're booked in for your second dose. You're going to have
fully
a superhero.
I'll be fully vaxxed next Tuesday.
Oh,
so
very exciting.
Called yesterday, so got that all set up. So it's good.
Oh, guys.
It is
We're getting there.
Look at us
we're
go.
We're getting there.
Adding to those stats.
Now, for those of you who have been following along at home, which is the only place that you can be at the moment, we've been focusing on a series called The Topography of Discipleship, Finding Our Way as the Church Today, looking at five key relational contexts that sow into and help us build our discipleship. And over the last 2 weeks, we've had Mark Rader and Belinda Lakeland share about the transparent context. You and the few, those few deep relationships that have closeness and intimacy in order to create spiritual impact. Now, this past week, Belinda shared how we can live that out in our daily life. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. But today in the Big Three, we wanted to have a fourth question. We really wanted to get deep into this transparent context and dive deeper into the invitation from Belinda's sermon. So for now, Jess and Mark, I'm interested, what were your thoughts coming out of Belinda's message this past Sunday?
Look, she lost me a little bit at the beginning with her love of math and statistics. And Mark, I know you love a survey. It's not my favorite time of life, but you could tell her passion about the survey. But besides that, she brought me back when she started talking about the transparent context. This is something I think is not my strong suit, is being really vulnerable about my faith with a few people. I'm not good at it, and kind of boiling it down and making it as simple as like, what can I pray for you about? That's not a huge question, but it just leads on to allowing people to be quite vulnerable with each other. But I think I'm going to have to listen up in this podcast because it's not something I'm very good at. And although I have a few people that I've kind of like called to or called out for, like in times where I really need guidance, or it's pretty scattered and sparse in my spiritual journey. So yeah, I've got to work on it.
Yeah, there we go.
What about you, Mark?
Well, I mean, I think it's, to some degree, it was the same kind of the same response. It was, I really liked how she demystified it.
Yeah.
Mm. Like it wasn't this really complex. I mean, you know, she mentioned like that she'd been part of a prayer triplet or the DNA
P3.
Groups
that was
or whatever.
Cute.
Yeah,
DNA.
Yeah. Like the discipleship, nurture and accountability, I think were the three terms. And you can have those sorts of groups that are quite deliberately, this is about discipleship.
Programmatic, she called it.
Yeah, yeah. Programmatic solutions. But I think, you know, when you just make it as simple as, hey, do you have a Christian friend that you already catch up with?
Yeah.
Can you make that relationship just a little bit more intentional in terms of discipleship? I was like, that's beautiful because I think that's achievable. Mm. Yeah. Because I think I'd agree, Jess. Like, I don't think that I can think back on periods of time when I've had those sorts of relationships at key moments.
Mm.
But it's not something that has been a constant in my discipleship journey. You just kind of go, but I've always had Christian friends. So why hasn't it been? And I think to some degree, we kind of think of discipleship as much more programmatic, much bigger, grander, more something, more complicated than just catching up with mates and seeing how you're going. So I really liked the simplicity and the accessibility of what she had to share.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd say the exact same thing. I think similar to you, Jess, there have been seasons in my life where I've called people into that space. Mm-hmm. But I think the last couple of weeks as we've explored this as a church community, the value and the impact that a consistent relationship can create for my own discipleship, that's become abundantly clear to me. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for us to continue the conversation that Belinda started on Sunday for us about how we go about living that out in our day-to-day life. So I guess that seems like a great segue into the fourth question. Let's get into it now. So I guess I'm just gonna present this to the group. This is an open question.
Open mic session.
Everyone gets a say. But this is a similar question to one that we asked a fortnight ago of the divine context, and I think it's a great first step for us as we consider each of these relational contexts and how we live them out, particularly during lockdown, because we're in a very unique circumstance right now. But that shouldn't stop us from living out these relational contexts for the sake of our discipleship. So my question to us all is, how can we start to explore and experience the transparent context in our everyday, particularly even during lockdown? Mark, you want to kick us off?
Sure thing. It's a bit of a follow-on of, you know, what we were just talking about, really. Yeah. It's about finding some of those really simple ways to just be a little bit more intentional. So I think one of the first things that we need to there's probably two things I think we need to kind of grapple with initially. One is to recognize the importance of this context for our discipleship.
Yeah.
You know, and again, as you know, Jess said, and I think all of us have said, we can look back and see times when there's been one or two or three people in our life and it's like, you know what, I grew a lot in that period of time. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing that there are seasons in which that is more or less true. But I think if we're convinced of the value of something, then you're like, okay, that makes it easier to be intentional about it.
Yeah.
So I think we need to kind of reflect on those times and kind of go, so when did I grow the most? Or when have those deliberate and intentional relationships been most helpful for me? And, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that's something. And then I think the second thing is just to start small. Like we've talked about this a few times, I think, over the last few weeks, but we just have to kind of manage our expectations a bit.
Yeah.
You know, like in the divine context, it was like, you know, every time I open the Word of God, there's a beam of light and, you know, cherubs whizzing around the place. And sometimes it's not like that. Well, most of the time it's not like that at all. And so if we kind of lower our expectations or have more realistic expectations, I think that's helpful. So, you know, to recognize that, you know, again, there are some of those programmatic things, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying to a couple of people, hey, let's form a prayer triplet.
Yeah.
And let's be really deliberate about prayer. Like, okay, great. Like, there's no reason you can't do that. But it may be as simple as just saying to a mate that you always catch up with, someone that you're in regular contact with, but with whom you very rarely talk discipleship.
Yeah.
And just having the conversation and saying, hey, I don't know about you, you know, but can I share something with you and talk about the deep relationship, those relationships that have been so impactful and say, you know, you're one of my close mates.
why wouldn't we talk about this?
Yeah, why wouldn't we talk about this? Mm. You know, I think at one point Belinda made the point that if we want to be able to talk to our non-Christian friends about Jesus, like we should really start by talking with our Christian friends about Jesus, you know, so it's not so foreign. And you're like, oh, there's something quite profound in that. So I reckon, you know, begin by saying this is really important, like, and not convincing ourselves in the sense of, you know, have to kind of G ourselves up, but like, just be aware this is important. If it is important, then we need to kind of have some realistic expectations about, you know, what those first steps might look like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something really important about normalizing these relationships. I think we can kind of be intimidated by them a little bit because they feel so load-bearing. Like, you know, well, to be vulnerable and to really lay it all out there, it means that every single time I come into this space, come into this relationship, I just need to like pour my heart out, my deepest, darkest, and just be like this raw, vulnerable mess on the floor. It's actually like, well, like, yes, there are moments of that in those real intimate moments of fellowship that we have in these relationships. But there's also a lot of just normal life to be done. And I think we need to normalize these conversations. And I guess I'm speaking from experience in the sense of, you know, a number of years ago, my wife and I were living on the Northern Beaches and we made some friends up there. And one of the defining things that it was so valuable in this friendship was just how naturally they would just talk about their faith in conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, how was your day? Oh yeah, you know, this was really hard. But you know, you know, God's just teaching me like this, that, or the other. Or, you know, I was praying about this the other day and it really struck out. Mm. And it was just so natural. Like it wasn't this
forced or
It wasn't forced. It also, you know, it also wasn't always vulnerable, or it didn't feel vulnerable because it was just, hey, I'm just telling you about, you asked me about my day and God's plays part a part in my day. Yeah. So let me tell you how that happened. And it opened up the opportunity for then me to replicate that and reciprocate that to them. And I think them being able to really normalize it for me really shaped or shifted the way that I interacted in that relationship.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes we see these relationships as really intimidating. Mm-hmm. And we actually need to normalize it.
Yeah, but I think some of the problem with it is the word accountability.
Yeah.
Because accountability on top of vulnerability suggests to me that it's always something I'm struggling with.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
You know, and so an accountability session is me basically confessing to what a failure I've been, you know, or how I didn't do what I said I would do, or I did again what I said I wouldn't do again, or whatever, like whatever it is. And so you kind of, become these guilt inducing relationships. So suddenly my friendship with Matt is no longer any fun because he's going to ask me about that thing that I stupidly shared.
Yeah. You know? and asked him to keep me accountable to,
you know, and now there's a time and a place for that, obviously.
Yes. Right?
Like, but I do wonder if we can't kind of flip it a little bit. Like, can we ask, you know, like what's wrong with asking people to keep us accountable for things we're good at?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, or things that are not kind of the deep seated things. You know? Like, I think we have to find kind of ways to start.
Yeah.
You know, cause I those sorts of relationships where you can be, I think, deeply accountable for really significant things, good and bad. Those are hard to develop. They take time to develop. And it may be that even with good friends, we need to start, you know, with little things, you know, that are relatively easily done. You know, I talked 2 weeks ago about almost flipping accountability around, where it's not you keeping me accountable, but I'm keeping you up to speed. Like I am giving an account to you of how things are going, which is kind of what we do when we just catch up. But I think something really powerful about normalizing it.
Yeah.
Cause I think, again, we've had this conversation, I think too, but discipleship can feel really intimidating.
As a whole, like discipleship as a whole. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because there's this, we're talking about people's spiritual lives. So it just, again, it feels very load bearing.
Yeah. Very big.
Which it is.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. I like what you said about it's not you keeping me accountable, but me just keeping you up to date with kind of what's happening. I think like it's hard to be that person who's vulnerable with someone about what's going on in their life, but it's also hard to be the friend who's receiving that and to like, okay, now I've got a lot of pressure. I got to like call them this many times or like, do they actually want me to bring that up or do they not want me to ever bring that up again? Like how accountable do they want me to be? Like keep them. It's a nightmare.
And what do I do if they didn't do what they said they would do?
Yeah. What are their consequences?
Yeah, because again,
grounded.
I think part of what we're starting to talk about is the power dynamic that exists sometimes in this, right? Because if I'm keeping you accountable, that suggests that, shall I say, I'm in the driver's seat. Mm. You know, and so often in our relationships, I think in some of our closest relationships, the power is balanced.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, and so I think there's a bit of a risk to upset the balance of power in a relationship if I suddenly start saying, will you keep me accountable on something? So I think it is a matter, I mean, there's a mutual accountability piece, but even that takes time.
Yeah.
And the courage to go first.
And there's something about like, doing it well, I think, that is important. And I think, you know, not for everyone, but for some, they might have experienced a relationship where it hasn't been done well and the balance has kind of been unhelpful, unhealthy even.
Or they've kind of just been forgotten.
Yeah. 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 And then all of us, and, you know, and we bring that baggage, don't we? Like, you don't just let that go. Yeah. I remember, you know, I was sharing in our formation groups on Sunday over Zoom. Like, when I first became a Christian, one of the leaders out at Teen Ranch kind of assumed the role of, like, spiritual guide in my life. And he had such a heart, and bless him, like, you know, in retrospect, I can look back and be like, I see what you were trying to do. But it was so unhelpful.
What made it unhelpful?
I think it was that I had never given permission. I'd never asked. He was not he wouldn't have been my first choice. bless. And I don't think like, and that wasn't me kind of being like, oh, I want one of the cool kids. It was purely just, you know.
Although I can see that being.
Yeah, that was definitely the reason.
Sorry. Thanks, Jess.
I just feel like every week I am getting slammed in this podcast.
We love you. We love you.
No, I'm not going to be vulnerable with you guys anytime soon.
Well, no, that's a wise decision.
He wasn't someone that I would have chosen because I think even at that stage, I could tell that our dynamic, like we didn't share enough in common that the dynamic that would be created would be one that would feel natural for me. Yep. So I remember being out at Teen Ranch and he was like, so I'm going to wake you up at 6 a.m. every morning before breakfast and we're going to go outside and read the Bible. Now, for those of you who know me, you try and wake me up before 6 a.m., like before that time, I'm like, you're lucky you don't get shanked. Like, it's a real thing. My children like live in fear all the time. They bring coffee to like soften the blow. So I was like, oh, you know, that kind of regimented routine. Yeah. Like that was something that worked really well for him. Yeah. It was not something that worked well for me. Mm. And so like we didn't have the right dynamic. Yeah. But I think mainly it was like I'd not asked for it. I was not ready for it. Mm. And I wasn't prepared for the intensity of it. And so, you know, we're talking about being vulnerable and having intimacy and closeness. We didn't have any of that. And so there was no impact.
Right. Yeah. Apart from feeling guilty and
Absolutely. And, then I'm there and I remember it vividly, like reading Romans. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be here.
I want to be in bed.
That's right.
Now, I think that, I mean, there are times as well where, you know, like having a coach or a mentor in that sort of situation, you know, whether that can be valuable. But I think, you know, what little I know about, say, coaching and whatnot is it's about kind of starting with the person who's being coached, right?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a matter of saying, how can I help you? Like, you know, nothing against this fellow. I think, you know, you're right, heart in the right place, wanting to do the right thing.
Wonderful man of God.
You know, yeah, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, how different would it have been if he'd said, Matt, you know, I know you've just started kind of taking steps of faith. I've been doing this for a while. Mm. How can I help you grow?
Yeah.
Like, what could I help you with? Like,
where were you when I was 17? Like, right? Hold me close.
So I think, right. but I think, you know, that question then opens up a completely different host of answers. Mm. Because then even though I might be very different from you and have very different routines and patterns, it becomes a matter of saying, okay, so, you know, I want to figure out a devotional pattern that works for me.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's try this. Mm. You know? And what if I woke you up at 6 a.m? That's not going to work. You know, what if we did it last thing at night? Look, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there's something about that permission granting, but also I think about like almost asking each other, how can I help you grow?
Yeah.
Like it's huge. That simple question, right? Like, how can I be praying for you? And is there anything I can do to help you get closer to Jesus this week?
Yeah.
Maybe all I can do is pray. Maybe I can call you and say, how'd you go with that conversation?
Yeah.
Maybe next time we meet, we can say, did you see God at work? Like, I don't know what it is, but something simple I think becomes, and focused on the other person.
Yeah.
Is really helpful.
Because to then go back to Jess's point, like as the person who I guess is asking the question, like it takes the pressure off you as well. Because yeah, like it's stressful to be in that seat as well, not just the person kind of giving an account.
It's kind of like, it's almost like you need kind of a mutual coaching session. You know, like in the sense of kind of sitting down and saying, okay, so what's on your mind?
Yep.
Like for, as a follower of Jesus, what's on your mind?
Mm.
Like, what are you going through right now? And that allows then people to respond.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you know, I haven't been the word much, or I'm really struggling with my attitude at work, or, you know, like whatever the case is. Mm. And you can kind of go to the, you know, the point of willingness.
Yeah.
You know, in that sense, which I think is important. Just like, have you had those sorts of experiences as well? Like, you know, you mentioned that you've had times when it's worked. What contributed to it working, do you think?
I think it was just a really natural happenstance of kind of, it was my good friend at the time. We were both youth leading together. And so we were talking about this stuff already, but I think it was just out of the blue. I kind of came quite vulnerably to them and was like, let's talk about this. I'm actually really struggling with it. Or it was like my Bible study leader was my mentor. And so that kind of happened quite naturally as well. Okay. It wasn't, I haven't had periods of like really prolonged, like I've never had a relationship where it's, hey, let's sit down and read the Bible together regularly, or let's keep checking up on this. It's more like, I'm having a crisis, help me. And then finding them in that space. I think the biggest struggle I have with these kind of relationships is feeling like a burden to people. Like I have a lot of issues. I got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of crises happening in my life on a regular basis.
I do need you on call 24/7.
So feeling like, oh, I've pushed it too far, or like this is now, it's a relationship where the dynamic is me just talking at them and them trying to help me, rather than like, hey, I know I'm going through something, but I actually want to hear how you're going too, but it looks like I'm too much of a mess to receive anything that you're giving. Got any hints for that kind of like feeling like a burden in these kind of relationships? No.
Well, yes. No, like to go back to what Mark was saying, like I think, because like since my time as a new Christian and my leader at Teen Ranch, like I've had some helpful relationships and they were ones where they would actually kind of go, hey, so what do you want from this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it opened up an opportunity for both of us to kind of go, okay, so like, how is this going to work? What are the expectations? What are we going to talk about? And obviously that feels very formal. Mm. And in those settings, they were formal kind of transparent relationships. I've got one at the moment where due to accreditation, I needed a mentor. And so I've gotten one. Mark set me up. It was a delightful thing. Nice. And, you know, we had that conversation at the very beginning. So what is this going to look like? Yeah. And so you come into those conversations with clear expectations and clear understanding of what you're going to be talking about, and it feels far more natural. It's interesting that because we had this kind of structure and formal setting at the beginning, it's allowed for much more natural conversation as a result. And it also kind of, you're able to establish like, hey, yeah, like I'm going to tell you about what's going on for me, but there needs to be space for you to, like if that's what the relationship is going to be, then, hey, there also needs to be space for it to go the other way. And so we're going to make sure that we prioritize an equal balance in that. Like, I know that we're kind of, it's making it all feel very formal, but like, if these are people that you have already established relationships with, I actually don't think that it's a bridge too far to kind of go, hey, I really want to be intentional about my discipleship. One of the ways is that I want someone to actually talk about faith with. You're one of my closest friends. Can we do that? And actually, this is what I want us to be doing when we have that conversation. Mm. Like, I think about the people who I have in my life, the close friends that I have in my life who are following Jesus, like they would jump at that opportunity. Like they'd just be like, yes, like, and I know for me, like my reflection as we've kind of explored the transparent context is like, absolutely, this stuff is so good. Like to have that is amazing. And, you know, like you've said, Jess, the moments in my life where I have had that, gosh, it's been fruitful and rewarding. So why wouldn't I want that in a more consistent way?
I think one of the pieces, you know, that jumping out of that a bit, Matt, I think one of the pieces in it is also to say to those one or two people, like, how can we get closer to Jesus? So there may be, and that may also create a unique space as well of kind of going, you know what? This is not just about the things that I need to grow in.
Yeah.
It might actually be something that's not in my top 10, you know, that's certainly top 20. Happy to do that because it's pressing for you. Or we kind of agree, like, it's almost like if we all wrote down our top 5 things that we wanted to grow in and we picked the one that we agreed on.
Yeah.
You know, so even if it wasn't my number one, you just kind of go, yeah, I could do that. I could.
And is my discipleship going to suffer because I focused on my number 4, not my number 2?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, so I think that there's something really quite powerful about saying, how are we going to proceed?
Yeah.
So like I'm currently catching up with a mate and we're catching up, trying to do it every week. And we're trying to do it every week because we know that we're not going to be able to do it every week. So it's most weeks still. But it was driven by a question that he's had that he's grappling with. He's like, you know, can we work this through together? And I was like, yeah. And so, you know, I've been reading and he's been listening to podcasts and we've been kind of talking about our findings almost. And it's been really helpful. Mm. So even though the question that started this wasn't
your question,
it's been kind of a really helpful kind of piece moving forward. So I think there's something really powerful about doing things together. And I think this kind of comes back to the whole crisis question. Because I know that feeling, you know, kind of both ways where you're like, oh, I'm just listening. Mm. I have no idea what to do right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously a huge issue. Mm. So I'm not going to talk about what's going on for me because, you know, but at the same time, other times flipping that around and just kind of going, geez, I just talked about myself the whole time. And I think there's kind of that give and take in relationships. But I think part of the discipleship question is how do we do discipleship in non-crisis moments?
Yeah.
Because I think in a crisis, I mean, everyone gets that. Like if you're good friends, you know, like whenever I've had a friend go through a crisis, I haven't kind of come home and whinged about the fact that I didn't get to talk about my life.
You know, like they didn't ask me about what's going on for me once.
You generally just go home really burdened for them. You're just kind of like, oh man, you're like, and so you don't mind that.
Yeah.
You know, unless it never, ever ends, in which case, you know, it's probably
in my case, doesn't it? Okay, Mark, it's a lot of crises, just one back on top of the other.
Well, as long as they're different, I'm good with that. You know? Diversity. At least it's new.
Something fresh.
That's right.
Change is as good as a holiday.
But how do we do discipleship when we're not in crisis mode?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the strength of these sorts of relationships because they're based on relationships that kind of exist, shall we say, both before and after a crisis.
Yeah.
And so the intentionality then, there'll always be the crisis moment. And those can be great times to learn and grow. But how do we do it in a regular way? Like what's we talked about last week, just pick something, right? Just pick something and focus on it. Well, like what is that thing? Like don't wait for the crisis.
You know? Yeah.
Figure it out now. And
might actually prepare you for the crisis.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I think it comes down to kind of normalizing it. Not waiting for the crisis, just making this part of want to get closer to Jesus, want to mature my understanding, want to understand how my beliefs get grounded in my life. I want to pick something, start, you know, kind of have that conversation.
I think it's also important to kind of acknowledge, like, I feel like a lot of our conversation is kind of centered around those relationships that we already have that probably friendships, people who we just naturally get along with and we've naturally got a an already established relationship, and then so being intentional in that space. And that's really valuable and that's really important. And I think it's probably one of the areas that we miss so easily because, well, we just do. We get comfortable, I guess.
Well, it's also amazing, Matt, how easy it is to have friendships with other Christians, but you never actually talk about faith. You talk about ministry, or you talk about the church, or you talk about the sermon last week, or you talk about, but like that next step, it's you kind of like, I've never had those conversations with my close Christian friends about whom we talk about Christian stuff
all the time,
but we don't talk about discipleship.
But there's also space like to consider like, well, are there other types of relationships that could be a transparent relationship for me right now? And Belinda kind of mentioned all the different kind of relationships that we have in our world and in our life. And sometimes it might be one where there is a power imbalance and an intentional one. Like, you know, me with my accreditation mentor, you know, he shares with me, you know, he went on holidays, that was great. He, you know, who his kids are. So like I've got some sense of, you know, knowing him, but we don't talk about, you know, how he's developing in his faith. We don't talk about, you know, his struggles in leadership. That's just all me, like on the couch, you know, just crying out. You know, and that's okay, but that was established, and that was one of those relationships that we kind of went into knowing.
And it's also, it comes back to kind of what I shared a couple of weeks ago about being transparent with someone else about our progress, our purpose of our progress. Like, what's God doing in your life, and who do you need to help facilitate that? And sometimes it's not going to be a mate. Sometimes it's going to have to be a coach or a mentor, a counselor, you know, like someone outside of our normal relationships who doesn't know us, doesn't know our context, doesn't know our friends, is able to speak with a little, a different authority or a different kind of level of authority, just because of who they are. So I think we do need to identify, like, what are we, what's God kind of played on our hearts to be growing in, and then what sort of transparent relationship will be the most effective? Because I think they're seasonal as well. You know, it's not just crises. It's, you know, as you said, Jess, you know, you were, you know, co-leading youth together with one of those relationships. And that, well, that just becomes a friendship that's seasonal to some degree because it's focused on a shared practice, habit, passion, all that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, they can be seasonal. Sometimes they're those lifelong friends, and sometimes they're, it's like, you know, for such a time as this. We're going to walk alongside each other for a little period of time, and then we will stop doing that. you know, and that's okay. So I think, you know, figuring out what it is that God's calling you to, like, where is God leading you to grow? Where's the invitation? And then finding someone, and it might be a friend to say, hey, you know, it might be as simple as saying, hey, listen, can you ask me about this in a few months? God's laying this on my heart. I'm going to go and try to get a mentor. Just can you follow me up? So it's not even accountability, like you're not going to do the, you're not going to be doing the work with me, but just say, hey, did you ever get find a mentor? Yeah, I did actually. Or no, I didn't. Oh, thanks for raising it. Like,
Oh, forgot about that. It's on my to-do list.
I'm glad one of us was paying attention, you know, like all that kind of stuff, which I think is quite valuable too.
Awesome. Well, I think that we've considered a lot. I think there's a lot for us to continue to explore as we seek to like kind of find these relationships. I loved that Belinda was kind of like, you know, they might already be out there, or you might just be praying to God to kind of bring that person into your life. But I think it's important that we have our eyes open and looking out for it.
Sure.
Well, thanks so much, Mark and Jess.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. If you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you're there for one of our services this Sunday and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.
Thank you.